Hi, everyone. Welcome to the TimingResearch.com Analyze Your Trade, episode number 90 for August 20th, 2019. Today, we will be discussing your trade ideas. So over the last few days, about 20 people submitted up to five symbols each, and I put the list together of the top requests, and we're going to go through as many of those as we can today. We are recording this at 4 p.m. Eastern, and you can watch it on YouTube or listen to the audio-only version on your favorite podcast network. So just search for Timing Research and subscribe. My name is David Kosmeter. I'm the creator of TimingResearch.com. And today I have arranged for Felix Frey to be here for the first time, as well as Jim Kenny to moderate. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Jim.
Thanks a lot, David. And thanks a lot for everybody for tuning in. We're going to have a very good show here. We got 15 stocks, which we're going to try to get through as many as possible. And we're going to learn a lot about Felix Frey and OptionsGeek.com about who he is, what they do, and everything else. So there's a lot to cover. The market has been very volatile. Today it rolled over pretty well, and it had a big bounce back rally prior to that. So the action's out there. The volatility is returned, that's for sure. And let's start out by introducing the speaker here, guest here, Felix Frey of OptionsGeek.com. Hey, Felix, this is Jim Kenny.
And hey, Jim, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. Just a quick background on yourself and a quick background on what OptionsGeek does for people.
Sure. I spent 20 somewhat years on Wall Street, working in Chicago and New York. I graduated in 95, went to work at the O'Connor Group in Chicago, learned options from them, and then came back to New York and worked for Bank of America, and then joined Scoggin Capital Management in end of 2007, 2008. When I started, the number of contracts that traded in 1995 were 150 million. And in 2018, the number of equity options contracts was 5 billion. And wow. So there's been a big push into the options market, both institutionally and on the retail side. I built OptionsGeek.com essentially to get my message out that perhaps there was a different way to look at options. And perhaps the industry has what I call a fundamental flaw. Not that the education is bad. It's actually very good what they're putting out there. But to some extent, it's misdirected and perhaps incomplete. So my experience is in dealing with the top 1% of investors over the last 25 years. I was an expert volatility trader, an expert derivative advisor on Wall Street for many years. And I realized very quickly that I was trading options differently than they were. And while I was a volatility expert trading implied volatility, the people that I was talking to, which include firms like Point72 at that time, SAC, Galleon with Raj Rajaratnam, back in those days, they were obviously trading direction. They were buying calls when they liked the stock and buying puts when they didn't. And also using hedging techniques and whatnot. But I built Options Geek to help change the education and change the conversation. And I built a tool that helps the average investor to think about options exactly the way a top 1% hedge fund manager would. And then I provide unusual activity options ideas on a weekly basis, 3 to 5 per week. So that's the three parts to Options Geek, and essentially trying to change the conversation a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I think there's a lot to learn in options. There's so many moving parts and there's so many different angles. The thing you want to do is get as educated as possible, find out which strategy is really something that you can sleep with, and then try to pursue it when you can. Real quick, I'm Jim Kenny, content provider, optionprofessor.com. So both of us have a lot of experience and knowledge in options, and we're going to share it with you guys here today. We're going to go over stocks, and then we're going to intercede with some specific things that Felix is looking at and some of the things that I'm looking at. So you guys will get the stocks that you're looking for, plus you'll also get some input from some people that have been in the options business for decades. Okay, so let's start out, Felix, with the first stock, which is Microsoft, and it's up on your screen. And I guess basically people are looking at, does it look like a buy, sell, or hold type situation, and if there's anything with options that you might consider with Microsoft right now.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I looked at Microsoft. I see it here, and I guess the first thing that I try to keep things simple, to be honest. The first thing that I look at is how's Microsoft traded in the last 3 months, and it obviously looks pretty good just looking at the chart. You know, this time frame from June to August is very strong relative to the market and the volatility the market's had. So you had this dip here in early August. But I would suspect that if people are looking at this name right now, you have this MACD coming all the way down with the stocks sort of holding here. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for a breakout at 140, you know, I think that if you're looking at options, and let's just turn back to options, my message is simply that in order to trade options, we're going to need a target stock price, we're going to need a time frame, and we're going to need some confidence. The board I created, just to give you an idea of how I look at the world, the board I created here is your normal options chain minus these two columns, these two yellow columns, the risk reward break even price, which is what I call them.
Right.
And what we have here at the top is inputs, right? So in any options chain, you're not going to be able to have these inputs. So if we think Microsoft is going to go, see if it breaks out here, the highs right here, 141. Again, keep it simple, 141.5 down to 130.5. That's about 11 points. With a breakout here, I expect to see probably a 10 point to 11 point move higher. So that would be close to 150, 151, 152 range. Mm-hmm. If that happens over the next, let's just see over the next 2 months, let's see how the options look. So if we got our target price, let's just say 150. 150 gets us to a strike of 141, which would give us that's in August, but let's look at September 1st.
Yeah.
Okay, so September, that would give us a strike around 144. So this is without the shading here. So what I've done is I basically, because my experience has been with the top hedge fund managers in the world, I know that most of the time, 98% of the time, they are buying options. They're buying puts or buying calls. So I wanted to shade also the area where they buy puts and buy calls. They're shading, you know, they're looking at a window. I call it the window of opportunity, between 20, 25, and 45% probability of being in the money, or close to deltas, if you will. When you're dealing with short-term amounts, close to delta. So you can see here's in the money. I'm looking at Microsoft breaking out higher on positive news. See what that looks like. 150 gets me out here, which is above this window of opportunity, which simply means that I might be a little bit aggressive. The market's not really anticipating that, right? So let's just use 140, 145. You can see how quickly the tool is telling you to move down on strikes. In order to get into this window of opportunity, we need 148. So clearly 150 is in that window of opportunity. This would be, if I thought Microsoft was going to break out here and break through the 141s, then this would be an opportunity to buy options, specifically buy somewhere at 148, 150, somewhere between the 141, 142 strikes. So
what you're doing there is you're getting your target, then you're looking at probabilities, and then you're trying to pick a strike price that puts you in a good condition. Good position.
Yeah. So what I teach and how I look at it is I want to, before even looking at the options, I want to figure out one, whether I like it, what's the idea. So this looks positive to me. This looks like a positive chart. You know, it's been, let's just go back a year. To me, this is obviously a positive chart. Is it top? Yeah. Am I going to call the top or the bottom? No, I have no idea. In fact, I actually try not to think too much about exactly where it's going and try to follow the options flow and what the options market's telling me. But this looks positive. Whether or not it stays here or not, I don't know. But if we're looking at 141, we're trying to adjust the risk reward into our favor. So we can either buy the stock at 137.25 or look for a breakout at 141.25. The question is, how do we want to play this Microsoft to the upside? To me, if I had a gun to my head, I'd say the stock's going higher.
Right.
So 41.
I mean, you're looking at the evidence that's in front of you, not into a crystal ball that's going over things that are not in front of you. Like right you have higher lows there, and you have an overall uptrend on the moving averages and all that kind of stuff. So based on the evidence you have right now, having an opinion that it's going to go way down, you know, would be very much speculative, because the evidence right now is not pointing that way. And so until evidence points a different way, you know, you play it that way. But
that's correct. I always keep it simple. I think if we try to pick the market too many times and have too many guesses, I think that's where, you know, in math and in any type of research, you know, it's try to keep the guesses down to a minimum to try to get some sort of good outcome.
In this particular stock though, Felix, it's possible your opinion might be to stand stand aside because of factors like the 200-day moving average is way down at 118.
Another
reason you might want to is that if the S&P is not going through 3,000, then the likelihood of Microsoft going up is as high.
Yeah. I mean, this is, you're giving me this, but I wouldn't, it's, this isn't one that I jump and say, oh, wow, this is like a great opportunity to get long right here. I mean,
but there's no evidence of it actually turning down. So obviously anybody who's saying it's going to have a correction is premature from the evidence that's out there.
Right.
If it breaks 132 and a half and 130, then obviously, you have a different set of circumstances.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right now it's simply, I mean, you could have the same argument to short it at every point over the last 6 months.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So here until right, I would say you're right. I would say I'm looking at 130 and I'm saying above 130, it looks like it's holding fine, especially after some of the stocks. You look at some of the other software stocks, like the smaller names, I just want to look at like now, like that looks like it's starting to go the wrong way, but still holding a decent level here, right? I think we have, what's another?
Microsoft is a pretty much of a golden goose. That'll be one of the last ones they throw out the window.
Exactly. That's right. So, so that's what I'm looking at. And then what I'm trying to determine is, okay, I want to get long Microsoft. If there's one software name I want to get long, okay, we're going to get long Microsoft. Now the question is, do I buy the stock or do I use options? And which strategy might I use? So that becomes the bigger question. And that's where the top guys in the world are doing their risk reward analysis. Mm-hmm. And the risk reward analysis then needs a target stock price. And then later on, you can play around with your confidence level to move this around. But if this thing breaks out, you can get an 8%, 8.5% move up. The market's got to move up as well. The way I see it is, I'd handicap it more, higher just because of what we're looking at. But you'd have to think what this tool is trying to tell you in order to use options going out to September, which is only 4 weeks away, the market is pricing in, a move towards 147 or higher if you want to use options. And the way it does that is by using this risk reward analysis on each strike. So we're doing the risk reward analysis and then sort of using your confidence level to sort of adjust where you think, you are.
Right. Okay. And so I think we went over Microsoft pretty well. The next stock on the list is Shop, S-H-O-P. And this is a company that has been, I think, going through the roof, and it is on its all-time high today. So if you're in there, God bless you. if you're in there, you might want to look at some point getting out your original investment and let the rest of it ride so you have no cash loss on it out of pocket. And then also, I don't know if hedging comes into play here, but this is a stock that obviously is just gone nuts because the 200-day average is down at 222 and you're up at 375. So that's the better part of 50% or better. It's just been a straight up deal since January. So it's a software company. What are you thinking here, Felix?
I'm thinking the same. This looks like a story of you're either a trader here or you are a long-term investor. So, I think this is one of those names where when it breaks, it's in, we're in early 2019. Where is this coming from? I know the name because it keeps going up, but yeah. I stay away. It's hard to, unless you're long calls, it's very difficult to make money in this scenario, right? Mm. It's not easy. It's not sort of moving around or making turns. It's just going straight up, which makes it difficult. But, could it easily go to 175? I don't know. I don't know the fundamental story here, to be honest, but I look at this and if you're a long-term investor, like you said, you're just holding it. You're not looking. It's up every day. What could be worse, right?
But I mean, if you had that much value, obviously taking your original capital off the table or throwing a few mercy puts out there at some point might not be a terrible thing.
Let's just see what how the market's pricing in Shopify here, out through October, right? Let's just say, let's give it three more months here. And the market's essentially saying how you read this essentially is here's the risk reward break even. So it's basically saying if you wanted to buy the 340 puts at $12.84 or right here mid market 12.75, mm-hmm. okay, in order to pay that as far out of the money that as it is, you'd have to expect this is almost like an over under in the football line. You'd have to expect basically under 301, by expiration. And to me, I would say, you can't look at it as $12. You have to look at it as a percentage.
Yeah.
So $12, 4%, call it about 12 and 3/4, 4%, 4.75%. It's not that bad. I mean,
To be honest with you, I thought it would be more like 25 or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, that to me, just looking at it, that seems cheap. cheap.
Which either means everyone's tasting the lemonade, or it means that the guy who's putting the numbers out there went to bed. Or,
That's right.
There's very little belief that a correction can happen. So the higher it goes, the more people are on the lemonade here.
That's right. And I think one thing to point out is that people say, ah, $12 seems expensive. It's, you know, you got to look at it as percentages. Yeah. And you have to, you know, regardless, it's $12 and three quarters. Regardless if it was 30 volatility or 50 volatility, it's $12 and three quarters, right? And so when that stock turns, if it ever turns, and I'm sure one day it will, you know, the stock, you know, these things explode pretty quickly. So you're talking about 340, 12. I mean, to me, that's pretty remarkable that it is at that level. I just want to see who holds this stock.
Sure.
You know, one of the things I tend to look at is, you know, the actual, who are the buyers of this stock?
What are the calls looking like at 380 and 400 and 420? That's what I'd like to know, because, you know, if you could do a collar up here and sell a 450 call, you got another $75 on the upside, take that premium and buy a put underneath, and now you got it bracketed pretty nicely.
Yeah, it's actually, so this right here, up here, 3 month sentiment, you could see is pretty bullish. What that is and what that means is that skew is pretty low, which means the calls are bid. Obviously, it's that people just keep buying calls and probably keep winning. Right. Calls a bid and puts are a little bit offered. So that skew, yeah, if you wanted to take advantage of skew, which is buying the puts and selling those calls, yeah, it would actually look pretty good, actually. 340.
Yeah, I mean, you could do a 340 put for $20, and you can do a 420 call, 415 for $12. And now you've got still, you got plenty of upside, and at least you got some kind of parachute underneath, because you know, this thing is inordinately going higher, you know, and the short interest is not that high, 3.68% short interest. So you can't expect too much more buying out of the shorts.
I think that looks great. Yeah. I think that looks great. That takes advantage of the skew. You're basically staying long the stock and you're protecting yourself just in case things go rotten.
Yeah.
I think when we
look at these things, I think people would like to hear about, okay, you're in the driver's seat and here's the price and here's the stock. What are some of the strategies? What are some of the ideas that might hit you as appropriate or in your opinion, you know, might be appropriate as far as the current situation? Yeah.
I would say that looks good. I mean, I just think it's too, I think this is the, I think that's the put, the 340 put. I was thinking I would look at a put spread, you know, just in case, because the things, usually these things take time for them to roll over unless there's some just dramatic, these things usually just don't go from here straight down. Usually has that first move down, pushes back up, and then comes off again, you know, whether it makes that new high or not, but it usually one, two, and then comes down again. Usually that's what you're seeing. But
I mean, a stock like Amazon, it did go straight down from 2050 down to 1500, but then there's a stock like Chipotle that they can't get the thing to go down with a sledgehammer. So
yeah, well, this one went, see how this was going straight up?
You see what I'm saying? Yeah, this was in the same situation. And so had you collared it up at 2000, you're a boy wonder when it drops all the way down here to 1300.
Exactly. Yeah, just look at that. It's almost a very similar chart, right? It's just going straight up.
Yeah.
So, yes, I'm with you. I'm with you there. I wouldn't do a put spread on this. I would simply, you know, the problem with put spreads in these types of names is that when you're right, the market makers are going to widen out the spreads, and it's going to hurt you on the way out to maneuver around. So you got if you did a 340, call it 300 put spread for $8, you know, you're getting about that 4 to 1. So that trade on a sharp down move, that trade's not going to go more than $20. It's gonna probably stop it around for a good portion all the way down to 270, 28, 28. Even if it got down to the strike and a little bit lower, it's still gonna be around 20 to $25. So that's the reason the put spreads are tough on some of these names. And when you're able to buy it at 3.75% for 2 months, over the next 2 months, that's not a bad play. But I like your play. I do like your idea of the 340 if you own the stock to sell.
If you own the stock. And if you don't own the stock, it's hard to come into something that has no P ratio because they're still losing money.
That's
at $375 when it used to be $100 6 months ago. You know, I don't know if that's the best setup. If that's your cup of tea, God bless you, but it wouldn't be something that I'd be running down the street with a checkbook waving it at.
Right. I would not try to short that. I would not buy puts.
But I wouldn't try. Yeah, you don't short something like this either from the standpoint of, you know, there's no evidence of a turn at all. It just made it 52-week high today, and it's in the ozone. And if it's in the ozone and still losing money, there's a story behind the story.
Exactly. It's almost like a Roku, right? ROKU.
Yeah, bidding it up for no reason. There could be a deal where somebody's going to buy this company, out, or there could be some other issues that you're not aware of. But it's not at 375 for no reason.
That's right. Yeah. I 100%. I'm with you 100%.
Well, let's swing over to Trip and see what they're tripping on. That's the little joke of the day. What is Trip into? Some of these stocks I'm familiar with. Some I am not. Trip is not one that I'm following. TripAdvisor. Okay. No, TripAdvisor. Yeah, I just don't follow the stock.
This looks like a turn here, right? There's something wrong with this stock in the course 2019.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Something's wrong here. This is a big level here. You had a gap move right around 40. You had a lot of volume around, doing some damage here in 2018, then some, a big gap here, held 43.5 here in October 2018, held sort of this range 42 right here in May. And now it's dropping down here, back down here. So this stock, I would say 43, you could short it against 43, right? 43 looks like the level to short.
And that's the 50-day moving average. So that might be a number to work with.
Yeah. So that's what I'm looking at. I would say this is a short. I'm not sure I'm so excited to short it exactly right now. I would like to see it come back and try to get back to right around 43. To me, that would be a great place. I mean, I'd also want to look at another thing I look at here. I think Market Chameleon's great. These guys just have a lot of data and a lot of information, but I tend to come here and look at the open interest. So I'm here, I'm looking at the open interest and I spot, all right, so there's 13,000 in September. I just want to know where the open interest is, where it lies. Mm-hmm. Not a ton, not like chunky stuff. Here's one, 40 puts.
Yeah, well, the 40 puts are now in the money. So the things that would get me concerned about TripAdvisor being negative now is obviously the thing used to be $70 almost, and now you're at 38, and then the light went off for you. That's a little on the late side.
Right.
The other thing is you are almost 30% underneath its 200-day average. And when things get 20, 30, 40% away from its moving average, I'm looking for the other side more.
Right.
And the short interest is 12.5% of the stock. So we got a ton of shorts out there. Obviously, in my view, what probably happened here is obviously Expedia, Priceline, and all these other people, the competition has just gotten huge,
sure.
Trivago. So, this used to be one of the only games in town, and now there's 500 games in town. But the thing here is like I say, on a technical basis, you're 30% almost underneath the 200-day. Your short interest is pretty darn high, and you are going into an area which were former high area back in early 18. So is it weak enough to get a bounce out of the highs of 2018 Q1? Maybe. But the setup here, seems to be one that is obviously downtrending and obviously looks lousy, but I just don't know that this particular moment is the great time to get totally negative on it. Could be, because it could go into the give-up phase, and the give-up phase, Lord knows what happens then.
Yeah. I think here, the one thing I do see that's positive, so I see this move here, 57, 42, it's $15, 15 from 49, it's about ballparking around 34. So, if the market turns lower, do you get like a quick move here? But you have this sort of ABCD pattern potentially growing up here. So, I'm not excited about shorting it here like you. I'm not excited about getting long. I'd rather just wait till you get some sort of move in the market and then gets right about here. And then you can lean on the 50-day and either buy some puts.
Is the MACD indicating a little bit of a low point here?
Yes, it is. That's what I see. That's what's making me think that this could get a sort of 1, 2, 3, and then a shot right to 50. Yeah. Because I see a divergence here, right? MACD low, price low, and then price low. It looks like if the MACD could hold, it might be a little bit of a divergence right here.
Right.
So that would be sort of like if I knew more about the company, it would be more of, all right, I like the stock. It can go down another couple of bucks, but this is where we want to start buying.
Yeah. This thing's definitely gone in the direct opposite direction of the broad market, and that's probably not a good sign.
Probably not a good sign, right?
All right. Here's a company that a lot of people like. They pay a good dividend, 3.25% dividend ballpark figure, 26 PE ratio, Qualcomm.
Qualcomm.
They're all over the place. They've been as low as 49 in the last 52 weeks, as high as 90. And right now it's smack in the middle of the road, 76. So where do we go when we're in the middle of the road here?
Yeah, so here, this stock is interesting. So you had, show you something here. So we had recommended July options here back in early March. They were buying, there was some big institutional buying of the 60 calls out to July in early March. Okay, so we jumped on that. Stock looked like it had come a long way, and they were just buying in decent size over a couple of days. It took a little bit of time, but obviously this happened. This was the big court case with Apple. And then the judge came out and said, another judge came out and said something different. This stock is done. Just look at stocks done not much for many, many years. So if all goes well with this sort of this patent for Qualcomm and payments by the phone companies, I mean, this happened about 15 years ago and it did this and it didn't stop for about 10 years. You can go back in time. It was just, that was Qualcomm back in the 2000s. This is playing out 20 years later.
Right.
But the stock has not done anything. So if you get any clarity that things will actually hold for these guys and they all of a sudden become this company that collects these payments, you know, people like that. I mean, to some extent, you know, you get real cash flow coming in each quarter. They understand it. So it's gotta be upheld. But
And dependable cash flow.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think this is one where, you know, there's the guys who were playing the options, did they know? They had an inkling. Maybe they knew that there was some date coming and they knew that they were just playing the risk reward here, but they killed it here. These options were up huge. And then this happened. We're back to basically square one from that announcement.
Right.
I think this is a good stock. My impression has always been that, you know, I don't like court cases. I don't like waiting around for court cases because you get something like, you know, the person who loves the story and has been waiting around for 10 years buys it here because it's going up and he knows the story, goes up here, he feels great, and he's loading up because this thing should actually start really moving, and then it collapses to 64. It doesn't feel so good. So this is a crazy stock. I mean, it's how do you pick a federal court case?
Right. Well, you know, a strategy that I would be looking at here, and maybe you could put up some prices.
Yeah.
It looks to me like selling the 65 puts, if the premiums are reasonable, you know, is not a bad thing to do. If you know, fully paid, that means you have the money in your account if you're put the stock, that you could actually buy it at the strike less the premium, and or take the premium on the 65 put and get long with the premium somewhere above 80. And ergo, if it stays above 65 but doesn't get to 80, it's a wash, and it at least hedges you against a big up move in case that they don't come back and put you at 65. But the moving averages are all uptrending. The 50 and the 200 day are above each other. This thing has had good news. Some people I respect believe it's a pretty good company as far as their future is concerned. And, what are the 65 puts going for premium wise? Say you went, say you even went out a little further. Say you went out to October, November, December.
Yeah, November. No, 65 puts in November, $1.45, $1.40.
And then what if you went to Christmas?
$2.
$2. So, yeah, $1.40, $2 is pretty much the same.
Not bad.
And, we're just trying to be a little bit on the conservative side from the standpoint of you're 11 points out of the money and you're getting paid $2. So the stock has to drop down $11 plus your $2 in order to, you know, to be a situation where you'd be agreeing to buy it at 63. Now on the call side, where could you take that $2? You'd buy the 82s.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, this thing, when it got here quickly, people were talking about it being fully valued for 3 years. It just shot up, got fully quickly around 90. And it had to digest a little bit, but, I like the 65 sales. 65, if I want to be long, instead of owning stock, you can sell the 65 puts at $2 and buy something like the...
Well, if it can't get above 80, you wouldn't want it. So, I mean, the only reason you're buying something that's 76, 77 is that you think it's obviously going to blow through 80 at some point. If it's not going to do that, you know, then there's not much opportunity there to begin with.
Exactly. I'm looking at either the 350 at the 80s, 90 to 210, 250. You know what? For a rangy type of trade, because right now it looks like it's somewhat rangy, I don't think it's going to go through 90. I think they tried that and it just met a lot of resistance there. So I would say sell the, if you could sell the 65s at two, buy the 80 90s at 2.5, 240, right? 80 90s at 240. You basically do that trade for 50 cents and you're
getting... That ain't bad. That ain't a bad deal.
You're getting one at 65.
Yeah, because like I say, it's got to go through 80 to be any good. And the way the chart looks right now, it looks like it's got pretty darn good support at 71 where the 50-day average is and 64 where the 200-day average is. So I think those strike prices come in there pretty well if there's going to be action. And it looks like, to be honest, if they can get above 80, there's a lot of real estate that could get filled in pretty fast, particularly if it's combined with news.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a good... I mean, it's going to have to do a lot of work to get through 90 again on the first shot.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good trade, though. That's actually good. it instead of the stock. You want to, you know, you get 10, you get 11 point cushion on the downside, and you're going to play it up to the highs where it got smacked down. That's not a bad trade.
Yeah. One thing we've done here in the first 30 minutes or so, we're giving out information on a whole bunch of different ways to use options, either as a hedging tool with the collar strategy or the married puts, or using them as a situation of trying to create a position with parameters that give you a margin of error that is rather significant, which I think is one of the great uses of options that can be done.
Yeah.
You know. All right. Well, let's do this. Let's let's do one more, and then I'm going to ask you, you know, if you have any other specific things going on. This is Adobe, ADBE. And we all know Adobe Systems, and we can see the stock has been as low as 204 this year and as high as 313. It's up in the upper echelon at 285 down today. It is got a pretty high P/E ratio of 53. And but you know, most these companies like that do have, so that's not again, it's in the software area, so basically, you know, it is it's done fairly well this year, but again, it seems to have a lot of trouble around that 313-300 area. Rolled over pretty good from there, and the 200-day moving average as far as overbought oversold is down at 263, so it's not tremendously above its average. I think here you've just got to say to yourself, how do you feel about the semis, how do you feel about tech, and where do you think Adobe will shake out? So what do you think, Felix, on this one?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at, first glance, to me, same thing. Looks like a good stock. Forget about forget about the noise of the last 2 months. It's just, this is a 2-year chart. You know, the first thing when I would, whether it didn't matter what manager would come in, whether it was a short-term guy or a long-term guy, the first thing that, you know, I would look at guys on the desk on Wall Street look at is this a good stock or a bad stock? This is a decent stock. It's had one pullback. You know, we're talking about in the last 2 years here, one pullback here, and then this is, you know, a little pullback, and this is a little pullback. I mean, stocks have pullbacks. You know, it's not always going to be like this. So to me, this looks like a good stock. 277 had some trouble here, broke through it here again, did some work over a couple of months, and it's, you know, here's the level. It's 277 and a half, 280, right around here. Give it $5 room up and down. Breaks that to the downside, you know, then you got your 200 day, and you know, you could probably see some downside here, you know. Yeah. But I think that they're going to want to give this another run to the, you know, stocks. Do tops look like this? I always try to ask myself, does this look like it would be the top after this run? Does this look right here like a general? I would say probably, this is just me looking at a million charts over the course of the last 25 years, 70% of the time, it doesn't really look like that. You know, it doesn't look like it. It looks
more like the one on the left. Yeah.
Yeah. If you would have told me that,
where you have a high surrounded by a whole bunch of lower highs. Yeah.
Yeah, if you would have told me that looks like the ultimate top, I'd say, okay, I can kind of get in with that. This, that doesn't look like the ultimate top. Like 3 years from now, when I look at Adobe and I say that was the top, I don't know. It just doesn't look to see right here. If I saw that V, and I'm looking for a V, upside down V, sorry, upside down V, to me, that's what tops look like. This is starting to look like over here. You know, okay, that's upside. Then it does the V twice to the back up. So I think, you know, I think this is a good stock, 277, 275. That would be my take. You know, they're in a subscription business model. You know, I think if things calm down, the stock continues its climb.
Yeah. The two warning signals on the stuff that I'm looking on the board here is obviously getting under the intermediate moving average you have there. So that's your first warning signal. And then the MACD getting under the zero level is also a warning signal. So there could be some more defensive action on this thing, especially if the entire board gets defensive in the weeks ahead. You know, there could be some more backing and filling here. But this company does have something going on. It doesn't, you know, have that kind of a chart look because they don't have anything cooking, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, real quick, is there any particular sector or stock or setup or something that you're finding interesting, Felix, and that you could share? Sure. So we go off the grid here a little bit and present your own idea.
Sure. So, I mean, what I'm generally doing, I'm trying to stay away from picking which way the market's going. I'm trying to follow and find and follow some of the biggest hedge fund managers in the world. And when I can get in at a price, get a good feel for who it might be and what they're looking at, what they're doing, I tend to sort of, you know, poke around and start looking at things. So I would say there's three names that I'm looking at. We'll start with one. And some of the names, you know, I don't know much about. You know, what I do know is that some of the biggest guys in the world are getting in. and they're smart. They have great track records. And if I can get in right behind them, then you know I'm gonna take a shot there because I feel like I'm taking their fundamental analysis and then I'm using my risk reward analysis to get a good size position here. So here's one: Laurient Education, not a stock most people are gonna know. I looked through a lot of 13Fs when they come out. They were out last week. You know, this is a stock that I saw pop up at this firm right here, Melvin Capital. So who is Melvin Capital? What are they? So you have FMR with Fidelity, you got Vanguard, KKR, BlackRock, Waddell, you know, a couple of big guys right here. And then you have Melvin Capital. Melvin Capital is run by Gabriel Plotkin. And Gabriel Plotkin was basically Steve Cohen's right-hand guy, okay? So Steve Cohen's right-hand guy, he's the fourth largest holder. He's up 44% for 2019. He's really, really good. He was Steve Cohen's best guy. Left Steve Cohen. Steve Cohen invested in him. He's bought 7.3 million shares and he owns 15,000 call options. So if I click on Melvin Capital, I basically can go down and find his position here. And it looks like he bought a 10,000 lot. We can see here June 30th. Okay, up to June 30th. Somewhere in that quarter, he bought 10,000 calls. He also got long 700,000 shares of stock. So what I do is when I see something like that, I'm basically going into here and into my sort of data area and trying to figure out when did he buy these things, right? So there's a December option, 10,000 options, 17 and a half. What I then look up is, you know, I can go back and it's a little hunting here, right? So I'm trying to hunt this guy down and figure out what he's doing and potentially what he's thinking. I'm looking at the open interest and when the open interest went up, here you go, June 24th, and then go back and look at June 24th just to get an idea of what he was doing. And it looks like there's the trade. I can click on that trade and figure out all his prints. I could see exactly what he was buying, when he was buying it, what time he was buying it, and how he was looking at the world. So this is on June 24th. He started buying these things at 10:35, paying 60 cents, all the way up to 70, 75, and then traded as much as a dollar, okay? His VWAP on the price, he actually VWAPed is about 87 cents. And so I know he paid around 87 cents. So that takes me back to June 24th. So give you an idea how I'm looking at the world and how we're trying to find good risk reward. June 24th was, this guy had pretty good timing here. June 24th was right here near the low over the last 6 months, around 14 bucks. And then it just started trading decent, okay? And then here you have this earnings, stock jumped, and that's a buyback, $150 million. Stock does well, comes back here to this point and takes off here. So at Options Geek, I recommended this trade a couple of days ago, right around here. And the price that we were able to get in is around $1.05, $1.10. So we got a guy paying 90 cents here 6 weeks later. I think he paid the wrong price. Part of why I think he paid the wrong price, I think he did it himself. And I think he did it to disguise sort of the size he was buying and disguise his name. So he has 10, he's long 10,000 from here. The stock moves all the way here. It is now from 90 cents. It was at about a buck right here. I thought, look, this is one of the smartest guys in the world. He's buying December options. He thinks if he's paying 90 cents here, okay, it was 14. It was the option was on June 24th. The close was $15. He was paying, let's just call it a dollar for easy math. He was paying a dollar for the 17 and a half calls when the stock was 15, which means you can back out his thought to think that, you know, given a call it a 30 delta that day, or call it a 25 delta, that's 3-1. He's thinking that option, he's not going to buy that option. I think he's going to be worth, unless he thinks it's going to be worth $3.5-$4. So $3.5-$4 on 17 and a half is about 21, 22. Just to give you an idea of where he thinks this stock can go. Okay. And that was here. So we can back out his thought to about 21, 22 back here. The stock does well, hits 18, comes back off here. Now we can jump in and basically absorb all of this, absorb his call and get in at around a buck, very similar to him. I think that that's, you know, if I can do that, if I can find situations like this, then I want to play with the big guys. This is a guy that he's good. He's very good. They know what they're doing. They have what I call edge, however they're getting it, whether it's, you know, there's data that these guys are buying. I mean, Steve Cohen's a big buyer of data, credit card receipts, whatever. This happens to be an educational universities, but you know, however they're doing it, they have guys, they're the fourth largest holder. This is a trade that I like. So the DEX 17 and a half's up a little bit since, but you know, you're not far behind. 130, 140, right around here. So if they come back in here towards the $1 range, you know where he bought it, you know what he's thinking. Fourth largest holder, one of the best guys in the world doing this. You know, I don't think you go wrong there. So that's Lorient. And that's, you know, again, I don't think you need to know the complete fundamental story. They had good earnings. They beat. They're talking a positive game, buyback, $150 million, and you got the biggest guys in the world buying.
Are they an online educator or college?
Yeah, they like this. You know what? I read it. I simply went in and read it, and they have universities and in all these different countries. I think Brazil, Lisbon, Laureate universities.
Right. And you know, 1.7 trillion in student debt. People are going to start going online and forgoing the keg parties for 200 grand a semester or whatever.
That's right. That's a big move in debt. But you know, so that's one idea. That's one thing to find. The other idea I'm looking at a couple. So here's another one. HBI, right? Haynesbrand. Not excited to get in at this level, but I can tell you that this is chart doesn't look great. I'm going to go back a little bit, kind of get the full perspective because it's not.
It's a good dividend, 434 or something.
Yes, yes. So I think on some of these, I think people are starting to worry, is their dividend really going to be there? At some point, do they cut it? So here, again, not super excited, but there's a guy buying 13,000, 13 strike puts here, paying a dollar. He paid $1.50. So he's buying these 13 strike puts for $1.50 with the stock here. You know, you're talking about he thinks the stock's got to go down to 10. So why 10? That's my question. I can back out his thinking, but then the question becomes, you know, again, investigating why, you know, is there something special about, you know, 10 bucks? Well, the low here was about 11 and a quarter, spending $1.50 on the 13. Strike out to let's see where it was. HBI open interest. I think it was January. January here. So the July 13th, that open interest right there. He spent up to a buck and a half that day. So buck and a half with the stock trading around, you know, a little bit higher than 13. He's got to be thinking sub 10 here to buy that option. Okay. I think, and the way he did it, it wasn't in a clean one shot. He was methodical during the day. It doesn't feel like a hedge. It feels like a guy trying to break the stock here.
Yeah. Well, you got the 50-day at 15 and three quarters, the 200-days at 16 and a quarter. So they've had the death cross to the downside. Volume's been drying up here. They only did 4 million shares today. It's been averaging 5.5 million on a 200-day basis. And, I think the momentum clearly has broken to the downside. So this guy's basically pressing a momentum play right now, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I look at some names like Gap Stores. You know, would you want to short it here? Probably not. And then the thing collapses again. So you just wait for these names where you can see them pressing, you know, with options, I think has been working. And to be honest, I think it's been one of the same big guys who's just been pressing a lot of these and winning. So, you know, look at that. They've been on top of Teva, you know, now they're starting to turn. Just today, starting to see some call buying, but they were pressing all through this, pressing puts, all the way down, puts for a long time. And the stock just got hammered. But now you're starting to see some call buyings as the stock hits, you know, whatever, $6. At that point, it's, you know, that short trade is almost over. Right, just because it can't go to zero. Here's another trade.
And one last thing on the one you mentioned, the XRT, which is basically the sector ETF, looks lousy too. So it's in a bad neighborhood, and the chart is losing ground, and the momentum picking up on the downside. So the guy's just saying, "Hey, listen, it's a bad group. These people are losing altitude. Their parachutes are failing at the 200-day and the 50-day. And why not put a press on and see if we can get it down to 10?"
Exactly. Even Macy's. Look at this. This one is, you know.
Wow.
This is a disaster. So this is what caused the latest move in some of these names. And Haynesbrands, you know, I mean, they sell at all these big malls, at these bigger shops like a Macy's and whatnot. So, you know, this is a big move. This was a big shock. Now, one that I think at some point, you know, what happened here, and I don't know if, you know, sometimes you get, you know, I don't know how it works, but maybe.
Well, Felix, Kohl's got hit today hard because of their stuff. And doesn't Nordstrom announce this week as well?
Yes. Yeah. No, yes, exactly. Nordstrom's coming in. So
this whole group is in a rough place. Huh?
Yeah. So check this out. So what happens here is really interesting. So stocks getting drilled. the Wall Street Journal right here, okay, so let's just, this is interesting. So the Wall Street Journal comes out with a article saying that the family was going to take it private. Now, they had done this a couple of years earlier up at 50. Right, so I'm looking at it, and I'm like, okay, so they announced to take it private. And then right up here, right when it's nearing to stop, this is one day, it starts ripping on this article, and then you see these massive puts come in at like 32. Now, when you, logic says, when you see that article, if I had to ask you, Jim, which side of the equation would you see the options? You'd generally say, you know what, on a move like that with an announcement like that, the Wall Street Journal, you'd see all these call buyers.
Absolutely.
It was opposite. And you don't usually see that. It was almost as if the story was planted.
Exactly.
The story
was planted. And if it isn't planted, are they driving the stock down to take the thing out at $20 rather than $50?
Exactly. One way or the other. I want to think, after I saw that, because I thought to myself, you know what? I this looks like there's something lopsided here. The newspaper reports, they come out with size puts here, and then it drops down here. You know, it looks planted, like a planted story that got all the shorts out right here. Big volume, got a lot of weak shorts, and then they took it lower. But that's one to watch as well. There's another one, too, that's interesting. It's on my radar. Someone's buying the 50 puts here in Grub. Yeah. I'll show it to you. Grub, hold on. See, just get Grub up here.
And they're getting squeezed out by Uber Eats and other companies, right?
Right. You got it. It's like, you know, I think that the guys that do this, that play this game at the highest level, you know, they have their analysts that know every single detail. But at the end of the day, the big hedge fund managers, that, you know, they're relying on the analysts, and they're looking at that big picture story. So here we have open interest, September 50 puts. September 50 puts traded the other day, just the other day at here, 10,000 went across the tape, right around $1.50. They paid as much as $1.50. Again, on my radar, guy comes in to buy 50 puts, which is a decent drop. Just go back a little bit here. You know, not a good looking chart, right? Down, like a huge bear flag here. One, and then straight to the side. This doesn't look good. It's floating around here, these lows. You know, doesn't look healthy. So, you know, it had its move from 58 to 61. You know, if you're thinking about jumping in there now, you know, you can get, you know, on the move higher, volatility dropped, okay? And so you're able to get in. Same one that someone's paying a lot of money for that big move down. No catalyst, really. But you get the 50s here. Now are same 50s are 50 cents. Is that right?
Hold on a second. Yeah.
Yeah, look at that. This guy paid $1.30. I mean, look, dead wrong here. The 50, September 50 puts. Yeah. So this guy paid, we just saw it, $1.30, you know, and betting on this thing lower, you know, a big move lower, not just any move, a big move lower. And now they're 50 cents. So you can actually move all the way up and for the same price, two points. I don't know. You know, I don't know about moving up, but this is one that I'm looking at, you know, and maybe even going further. The earnings are in October. So this is something that I'm looking at, you know, for a guy to be buying, let's just take a look. Now, he can be buying for many reasons. We know that. But I'm trying to determine if he actually thinks the thing's going lower. And that's what I've been trying to determine over the last few days. It's like watching the action, watching everything everybody else is watching, making a few phone calls through my network, trying to figure out, is there a short story around there? You hit it right. You have a lot of competition. But if we're looking at the September options, you know, you're looking at, even if I went higher and got the 58s, or I was looking at somewhere around here, 57 and a half. So I didn't need that big of a move down. But if the guy's half right, I'm looking at, if the guy's half right and I can buy the 160s, that's not a bad, that doesn't look good. So I'm considering this one right here, the Septembers, and maybe buying a little bit more time and playing something like the 55s or something.
You know, the difference between if the guy's trying to hedge something or if he thinks he's trying to speculate, you know, obviously there's a different motivation there, but one guy's worried it's going to go down and the other guy feels sure it's going down.
Right. You know, that's right. And we're trying to determine the guy that he's betting that way. That's the way he's betting. So that's why I go back and forth to the 13 apps. I try to figure out who's long the stock, you know, right, who's bought puts or calls in the past, who's been active in the options. Guys that have been, you know, everybody thinks that hedge funds, some of the biggest guys in the world, that, you know, they think hedge funds, the 10,000, everyone uses options. And it's just not true. It's a smaller percentage, smaller community of hedge funds that use options for directional leverage. And, you know, the finding that motivation is key.
Yeah, it's a case-on-case basis whether they're going to use options. If it's more economical or that fits their game plan better, obviously, but they don't just routinely, blindly go use them.
That's correct. So those are three that I'm looking at and, you know, keeping a close eye. You know, I think for all this stuff, it's like exactly what you were thinking, how you were thinking and what you were saying. It's entry levels and is it a good time to short? And it's layering upon layering, right? It's layering technical technicals to options and a lot of detective work to figure everything out.
Sure. And it's not possible in our small format here today to obviously go over everything that you're trying to go over in a short format. So we're coming up to the top of the hour now, and I think it's important that you let people know again, Felix, who you are, and again, how they can get a hold of you. And then, of course, some of the services. If you have any special deals, this would be the time to offer them, and let people know how they can reach out and take advantage of your information.
Sure. So I think the best way to reach me is at my email, felix@optionsgeek.com. I am I'm a little nuts about responding. I respond to all emails and try to get people to fully understand different processes that they're comfortable with. So any options questions, feel free to drop me a line. I do have some right now. We charge on a subscription basis, on a monthly basis. I give 2 weeks free. Some great education. There's use of the tool. So for two weeks, you get a full view of what Options Geek offers, which is education, the tool, and 3 to 5 trading ideas each week. And again, if you have any questions, you can email me at felix@optionsgeek.com. I think that's the best way to reach me.
Okay, that's great. And there's a lot to learn there. So people should definitely take advantage of it. And as you can see, there's a lot of work that goes into Felix's final conclusion. So you want to find out more about how that works. I'm Jim Kenny. Optionprofessor.com is the website. Each week I have a podcast where I go over the stock market, the bond market, crude, gold, currency, etc. And I give you some ideas on my views and my observations. I've been pretty sharp lately here because I did think the market would have a break, which it had. I thought it would have a rebound rally, which it has. And as long as we stay under that 2950, 3000 area, there's still possibility to rendezvous further to the downside, because seasonally, this August, September timeframe can be a rough racket for stocks. At any rate, I'm available by email as well, optionprofessor@gmail.com. And I'm going to turn it over now to David to close it out. And Felix, thank you very much for being here, and it was really good to be on the show with you.
Thanks, Jim.
All right, thanks, guys. Lots of great information and discussion today. So just a quick reminder for everyone watching, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network, and you can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to the recording of this or any of the past shows. And I just want to thank my guests again for today. Felix Frey of optionsgeek.com, thank you for being here for the first time, and Jim Kenny of optionprofessor.com. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, David.
We'll see you soon.
Take care.